Aren't we glad that we have a Father like that? Amen. Just as was thinking about that, and then a quote from one of my heroes of the faith, Oswald Chambers. And it really is in light of what we just saw, okay? You and I will never cease to be the most amazed person or people on the earth at what God has done for us on the inside. You and I will never cease, or you will never cease to be the most amazed person on earth at what God has done for you on the inside. Just like that little lamb that's going to be taken care of by the shepherd, so God takes each and every one of us in and takes care of us. Takes care of us and nurtures us so that when we are around Him or when we're in His presence, that we run to Him, the Father. We're excited to be with Him. But one of the things that as we continue this series that we're on, and we're in the book of 2 Peter, and you can turn there with me, 2 Peter chapter 1, this passage that we're dealing with talks about the fact that you and I have been given everything that we need right now, right here, to live a godly life. We've been given everything. Everything you need, you guys, has been given to you already as a believer today. Yeah, there's a couple of you that believe that, all right? But it is a struggle for us. It is a struggle. It's just kind of like that lamb that got booted out from her mom that doesn't really believe at that moment that everything is going to work out. Okay? Thinks that something is terribly, terribly wrong. My circumstances are bad. Everything is just falling apart. But here's the deal. God has given you everything you need to live for Him. But then he goes on in that in the same chapter here, and he says in verse 8 that for if the qualities that he's given you, which are listed in 5, 6, and 7, if these qualities are yours, and they're godly qualities, they're the things that God gives you to live godly in this life. Okay? He says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins or his former way of life. And so this picture that we just saw, Oswald Chambers' statement, you will never cease to be the most amazed person on earth at what God has done for you on the inside, causes us to ask a couple of questions. And that is, and they're normal. I want you to understand, please understand, these are not bad questions. Okay, we all ask them. What in the world is God doing right here, right now? How many of you ever thought that or asked it? Okay? What in the world is God doing right here, right now, right in this world, right with me, in my circumstances, whatever's going on, we ask that question. And the second question is, how in the world should I respond? Two questions that we ask all the time. If that little lamb could ask the question, okay, it's a simple little picture, but she would be saying, Lord, what in the world is happening right here, right now? What has just happened to me? And how should I respond? I'm going to read a whole bunch of names, and they're fictitious, although some of them are right here in the building, okay? But they're not you, all right? They're just names that I've given, okay? And so here they are. Because Sharon did not answer these questions well, she was perennially depressed. Since Joe didn't answer these questions well, he spent much of his life angry. Since Jocelyn didn't answer these questions well, her life was constantly filled with envy. Because Frank didn't answer these questions well, he was all too driven by material success. Since Judy didn't answer these questions well, she was entirely too focused on what others thought of her. Brad never answered these questions well, and as an old man, he looked back on his life with bitterness and regret. Sharon, Joe, Jocelyn, Frank, Judy, and Brad were all believers. Not unbelievers, we're all believers. But they all lived dissatisfied lives, thinking that somehow, and catch what I'm about to say, that somehow, thinking that somehow that the good life had passed them by. Ever been there? That the good life had passed them by. They were all confused by God's ongoing work. And we'll use the word sanctification because that's what it is, His work of sanctification in their lives. They all wondered why God hadn't come through for them. And each of their stories was a narrative, was a narrative of an ever-weakening faith. They never really understood God's agenda between the already, that's what He did for you at the cross. We just sang about that, at the cross. Okay? They never really understood God's agenda between that moment at the cross and when we all get to heaven. And a lot of us are there. It's okay to be honest with this. They did not, and we do not understand God's agenda between the already and the not yet. And because they didn't, and because we don't, their faith and our faith in Christ doesn't rescue, it doesn't encourage, it doesn't protect, it doesn't comfort or guide. So here's what happens when that takes place. Their lives and our lives as well are relegated to the spiritual, religious part of our lives, but here's the deal. Let me just reread that again. Their faith, our faith, was relegated to the spiritual, religious part of their lives, but never the overarching lifestyle that gave sense and meaning to all that they did. And it goes back to something that we said last week, and that's really missing the point of uncomfortable grace. You see, grace is one of those words that we've really come to love in our Christian community today, isn't it? We love grace, but I just want you to understand something about grace, folks. Grace is sometimes, and more than often, it is very uncomfortable and it is very messy. You know why? Because it includes people. It includes you and it includes me. And so grace is somewhat uncomfortable at times and somewhat messy at times. And here's the big deal for us. And this is the statement that we left with last week. God will take you and He will take me where you have not intended to go in order to produce in you what you could not achieve on your own. God will take you there again and again and again. He will take me there again and again. Why? Because of His grace, because of His love. This is the, if you will, the theology of uncomfortable grace or God's work of sanctification. And here it is. And we can put it in a mathematical equation. God's divine power, do we believe that? God is powerful. Okay? Look outside. The heavens are declaring His powerful work right now today. And not only that, if you have a chance, just go look right out here. Right outside is not only snowing, but there are flowers blooming. It's not a mistake. God is declaring Himself again and again. He is powerful, but it is His divine power and His divine compassion that equals everything you and I need to become like Christ. Uncomfortable grace, my friends, is all about the process of Christian faith and Christian growth. But before we get there, before we begin to transition from the blindness where we've been blinded, which we've just covered over the last couple Sundays, I just want you to turn with me to a very, very familiar passage, and it's found in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2. And I just want you to turn there with me this morning before we begin to really talk and unflesh these qualities that God has given us And I want us to look at a piece that we are all very, very, very familiar with. In fact, most of us can quote it, and you'll quote it in your own translation. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "For by grace you have what? For by grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And not of yourself. It is a what? It's a gift of God." All right? But let's just kind of unpack this, because I just want you to join me here in thinking about something when we think about our very salvation. Okay? When we think about the work of God, because if we don't really understand what I'm going to say this morning, then Christian growth and Christian maturity will be the most frustrating and confusing experience in all of our lives. And I'm speaking from experience. If we don't really get what this is saying, folks, without really ruining it all, here's what happens. You and I take over what only God can do. Okay? So let's just break this down. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So let me just ask you a question. Whose grace? Whose? God's. It's God's grace. Okay? It is God's grace. It is God's amazing, uncomfortable grace that He poured out on you. That it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I didn't put this passage up there, but it says that God poured all of our sin, all of our filthiness, all of our ickiness and wickedness, poured it into Christ Jesus. And in exchange, poured into us all of Christ's righteousness. All of His grace. That's grace. Did we deserve it? No. Did we want it? No. So when we look at this piece, when we think about our salvation, for by grace you have been saved, and I just want you to understand something. It's not because you deserved it. It's not because you wanted it. It's not because I deserved it or I wanted it. It's because God wanted it. Because God wanted you. And just like that little lamb that the shepherd and that thing says, now I get to raise this little daughter. That's God speaking to you and I. So one of the things I just want to say is, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And we'll get there in a little bit, in a minute or two, but I just want to say some things about faith. And here's the deal, faith is not natural. It just is not natural. So when it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, if I were to say, whose faith, what would you tell me? It's a gift from God. Okay? Because faith is not natural. Faith is something that, as we move through this, that has been given to you by God in His grace. Folks, this is so important when we think about growth. Okay? Because it's not about us. So faith is not natural. God hasn't just forgiven us, which we can all say hallelujah to, amen? Okay? He hasn't just saved us or forgiven us, but He has also called us to a brand new way of living. He doesn't just save us and go, see you when you get to heaven. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, you know what I'm talking about. If you got saved and there's not a whole lot happening in the here and now, and then someday you're going to go to heaven, the Apostle Paul calls that the most meaningless life you could ever live. We would be the most pitied. He has called us to live by faith. But again, here's the rub. Faith is not normal for us. Faith is actually counterintuitive to the way that you and I live. So let me just prove my point here, okay, about why it is so counterintuitive. Okay, doubt. Okay, now there's something I can wrap my mind around. Okay? You're all chuckling, so you know what I'm talking about. Doubt is quite natural for us. Okay? Wondering what God is doing is very natural for us. It's normal to think that your life is harder than others. Envying the life of someone else is natural. Wishing life were easier and you had more control of had more control is very natural for you, is it not? Okay? It's typical for you and me to try to figure out the future. How's that working for you? Okay? Worry is natural. Fear is natural. Wanting to give up is natural. It's natural to wonder if all your good habits make a difference in the world. It's normal to be occasionally haunted by the question of whether what you have staked your life on is really true. How many have been there? Lord, is all this for real? Will it all work out in the end? We sing when we all get to heaven, but there have been times, I know it because I've been there, when I thought, what if there isn't a heaven? What if all of this is for naught? To put it honestly, you guys, okay, and as we think about this, as we prepare to really delve into what it means to grow, please understand this, that faith, not just grace, but faith itself is not natural. It is not natural. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is not something that you and I can work up inside of ourselves. Faith comes to you and to me as a gift from God, as a gift of His grace. You catch that? Faith is a gift of His grace. In grace, He saved you through faith, but faith is a gift of His grace. And this is not your own doing. Here's another translation. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. So not only is our salvation a gift of God, but the faith to embrace it is His gift as well. So here is what we need to understand. Here is the takeaway so far that I just want to bring out. And this is so simple, and I'm not even going to apologize for it today, okay? I'm not going to apologize for this because I think that one of the things that we wrestle with, and I know, and I started this whole passage in 1st and 2nd Peter talking about that God has given us all that we need to live a godly life, and then here's what we do. So now I'm going to live a godly life. Right? Now I'm going to be good. Now I'm going to do what I need to do to others. Now I'm going to live right. Now I'm going to speak truth. Now I'm going to be nice. Now I'm going to be kind. How many have ever thought those things? How many have ever attempted to do those things? Does it work? No. Because here it is. Our salvation is in and all because of God and His grace, and the gift of faith is His gift of grace to us to believe. So God not only gives you and I the grace to believe for our salvation, but He also, and here it is, He also works. He works to enable you and I to live by faith. God is at work in you and in me so that we can live by the gracious gift of faith that He has given us. If you are living by faith, you know that you have been visited. You know that you have been visited by a powerful, transforming grace because that way of living is just not normal for you. You know you have been visited by the powerful transforming work of God in your lives because you know that that way of living is just not even possible in and of yourself. You know that. I know that. If your way of living is no longer based on what your eyes can see and your mind can understand, but on God's presence and God's principles and God's promises and God's provision, it is because, and let me just say it this way, it is because God has crafted faith into you. I love that word. God is crafting your faith. I love it because it's an artistic word. I love it because God is, just as God fashioned man and woman, okay? He fashioned Eve. It says those are the words. He crafted Eve. God is crafting in you and I faith. Faith to believe. Faith to stand. Faith to live. Faith to believe. Faith to have courage. Faith to be bold. Is it your faith? It's kind of a trick question, isn't it? Because we all want to say yes. No, it's God's gift to you. It is God's gift to me. By grace, I have been saved through faith, and that faith that He is crafting and molding and shaping into me and developing every single day of my life is what gives me the ability then to live godly for Him. So again, think about this and don't let it slide, okay? I've just been saying this, that God is crafting faith in you to live the way that He intended you to live and the way that He intended me to live. And that is why Peter says in the book of 2 Peter, he says, by His divine power, I'm going to read out of it's a different translation that I want to read it out of. It is the New Living Translation, but it says this, by His power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Him by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know Him. See, there's the growth part, guys. There's the part where we're going to be moving into. By coming to know Him, He's given us all we need. We have received all this by coming to know Him, and that is a process for us, the coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And this moves us to a Godward life then. You know, and here's a thought for us as we think about this. Could it be that all those things that come your way that confuse you and that you would have never chosen for yourself? Are you following me? Could it be that all the things that have come your way that you would have never chosen for yourself are nothing more and nothing less than God's tools to build your faith? You know, every Friday, my wife and I go out, and we go to town because even though Teresa goes to work in town 3 days a week, I don't go to town, so going to town is a real happy place for me, okay? For most of you, like, what? You know, but that's just me, okay? I'm a little bit crazy, and I love the shop, okay? I don't care if I buy anything. I really don't. I just love the shop. I just love the look, all right? But here's what I don't like. I don't like freeways, and I don't like roads with cars on them, all right? So honestly, the best day off that I could ever have would be if there were zero cars on the road but mine. I would be super happy. Because you know what? People don't live by the rules. They don't drive by the rules. They don't live by the rules. And they're all over the place. And there's just total pandemonium and chaos and people honking their horns and waving at each other and doing all sorts of things. And it's just like, what is going on with my life? I hope I didn't offend you guys. I pointed, okay? But, you know, even yesterday we were coming down by McCord and there was someone that wasn't even in a car. And he was out in front of the runway. And he was doing this, you know, but the other finger. And I'm just going, dude, what are you doing? What is going on? And you know, and here's the thing. And, you know, Teresa just looked at me and just said, you know, Dan, this is all for you. all of this is happening for you right now. Because this is all part of God, one of God's tools just to shape my faith. Okay, we can laugh about it, you guys, but that's where you and I live every day. Okay? You know, seriously, at home, we were doing a craft together. And I'm on one end and Teresa's on the other end. And so I was going to turn the board one way and she was going to turn the board the other way. And all of a sudden, we were not happy people with each other. And she says, why is it that everything that we do is opposite? And I go, I don't know. I just go, I don't know. And you know, and I go, I'm so sorry that I didn't think that you would move the board that way. But I said, Trace, maybe this is your moment. It's my moment too, you guys. But you know what? Because right in that moment, okay, by grace I have been saved through faith, all of which is a gift from God. Why? So that you and I can come to know Him more. That you and I can love Him more. That you and I can follow Him more. That you and I can live godly lives in the here and now, in the everyday moments of our life. Not the big moments, okay? The turning of a craft, the driving of a car, the speaking to someone, that you and I could live a God-word life. Because that's what He wants. He wants that God-word direction. So by progressive, okay, and catch what I just said, by progressive transforming grace, okay, with the car, with the sign, with the speaking to whomever it might be, God, okay? God is enabling you and me to live the brand new life that He calls all of His children to live, which is God-word, which is God-centered, which is God-first, which is the life that He created us to live in and by in the first place, which has been totally demolished by sin. But by grace, He has saved us and redeemed us and given us the gift of faith so that we could come back to where He intended us to be in the first place. So you and I, we don't have to hide in guilt when weak faith gets us off path. So when Trace and I are turning the project in opposite directions, we don't have to get mad. We don't have to feel guilty. We don't have to. We just have to realize that God is working on us, and we have to adjust and readjust. And as a husband, as a wife, our goal is to consider the interest of them as more important than myself. I need to consider how to come alongside of them and stimulate them to love and good deeds. I don't need to yell at them. I don't need to put Teresa down. No. God is enabling you and I, us, to live a God-word, a God-centered life. So we don't have to hide in guilt and shame when we bloat, when our faith gets off track. Because our hope in life, okay, catch what I'm going to say, isn't in mine or your faithfulness, but in His. You hear what I'm saying? Folks, that doesn't mean that I get to just go live helter-skelter. That doesn't mean that I can, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may increase? We know the answer to that. Okay? But what it does mean that in the midst of life, that I don't have to feel bad, that I don't have to be ashamed, that I don't have to quit, that I don't have to put my hope in my faithfulness, but I put it in His. Because He is faithful. So you and I, in that process, then you and I can rest in His grace daily as He provides it. That you and I, here's the thing, you guys, you and I are going to run sometimes. We're going to hide. Because of weaknesses, we're going to do all those things. But the Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he just says these words, and I just love these words. He says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me or in you. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses and insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Strong in what? God's grace. God's faithfulness. So God, friends, in this passage, and I wanted to bring us here before we start getting into growth. And here's why I'm doing this, okay? Please look up. It is so easy for us to go from what He has done to what must I do, right? We go right in from, it's all about God, and this is really crazy in the Christian life, it's all about God, right, in our salvation, to in the in-between, it's all about me and what I need to do and how I should do it and how I should live and how I should look and how I should approach people and all those things. And yes, those are all outcomes, okay? But they only happen because God, in His graciousness, gave you a gift of faith to even believe in Him. And He graciously pours into you and I daily, 24/7, minute by minute, moment by moment, all that we need to live a godly life. So you and I can know, because He is crafting this in us, He is crafting our faith, that you and I can know that in zealous grace, that God will not leave His craft work until faith or until growth fully rules your heart and my heart unchallenged. I look forward to that, don't you? To where my faith, my growth, is unchallenged. Why? Because it is in direct 100% unity with God's grace and His faithfulness. God always, always gives freely what we need in order to do what we need to do and to be what we need to be, and to do the things that He has called us to do. God always, can you hear me say that? What does He do? He always gives us what we need to be the person we need to be and do the things that He wants us to do. He doesn't just say, "Hope you make it." Say it with me, "For by grace you have been saved, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." Amen? It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God that He has so lovingly, just like that shepherd who now is going to take that daughter in, that daughter little lamb, and raise her up to be one of His own. And when she grows older, She will enjoy His presence. She will enjoy His company. She will run to Him. She will follow Him. She will love to be where He is. And honestly, you guys, I think sometimes in our Christian life, we allow too much of everything else to crowd and to choke out who God is and what He has done for us, the shepherd. And somehow we have just turned, and all this is more important. All this is more important. But God, in His grace and in that gift of faith that He gave us, did all of that so that we would be that tender little lamb that would just come again and again and again to the presence of the King, the presence of the Father, the presence of the Master, the presence of the Protector and the Provider, the Lover of their soul, to just come and to come and just to live in that presence and to allow that faith to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only when we see what God has done that we can begin to unpack the things that allow us to live a godly life. For by grace, you have been saved. And it's not of yourself, lest any of us should boast, but it is a gift of God. Bow your heads with me. Lord God, we just come to You and we want to say thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You have given us everything we need, and it begins, Father, it begins with Your grace and Your gift of faith. And we just want to say thank You, God. We humbly just thank You from the bottom of our hearts that You, Lord, that You chose us while we were enemies of the cross, enemies of You, Father. You chose us to be Your children. Lord, we're baffled, and it's beyond our wildest imagination, God, that You picked us and called us to Yourself. And Lord, that You cleanse us and clean up all the yuck, all the dirt. Lord, that from the inside out, Lord, as we by faith receive Jesus Christ, Lord, that You begin this amazing process. God, we are so blown away by it. And we just want to say thank You. Lord, thank You. Let us not forget, as it says in this passage in 2 Peter, that we forget, Father, what You have done for us. Lord, let us never be there. Let us be men and women, young people, children, who never, ever forget, Lord, what You and You alone have done for us, so that we can even live a godly life. And so, Lord, as we go from here today, God, we pray that You would guide and direct us and move in our hearts, Father. Do the work that You continue to do. Father, let us come back to You again and again. Lord, let us stand at Your side. Lord, let us run to You when we sense Your presence, Father, because You were always there. We just want to say thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Tom, will you come?
Let's stand.